Excerpts of a Portland City Council District 2 candidate forum held March 6 at St. John's Church in Portland, Oregon. It featured 12 of the candidates running for the three open seats in the district. We heard from candidates Jonathan Tessini, Christopher Olson, Mariah Hudson, Ruben Berlin, Brooklyn Sherman, Mark Coller, James Armstrong, Debbie Kitchen, Ilana Pertelgini, Jennifer Park, Laura Stribe, and John Middleton. One candidate and current city commissioner, Dan Ryan, was unable to attend. Seamus Linsky was the moderator. The responses from the candidates were edited for clarity and brevity. Find the full unedited recording of the forum on our website at kbu.fm. I'm Eric Leuschner. Thank you to Barbara Bernstein for her help on this piece, and thank you for listening.
This is Mark Sanford Gross, and when I'm in Portland, I listen to KBOO, KBOO, 90.7 FM, Portland.
KBOO's board is recruiting directors. In preparation for our annual board election in September, KBOO's nominating committee will be holding virtual information sessions from now through June. KBOO's Board of Directors guides the station's strategic plan and represents the interests and visions of all of our members. BIPOC persons are especially encouraged to apply. More information and meeting times can be found at kboo.fm/boardrecruiting. Thank you for considering board work at KBOO.
Hi, this is Melissa Lesniak, the creator and host of That Vegan Show. On That Vegan Show, you will hear in-depth guest interviews on vegan-related topics, such as companion animals, environmentalism, social issues, and food and nutrition. We also learn about specific animals, such as possums and rabbits, including their needs and ways to help them. Be sure to tune in to That Vegan Show on the fourth Friday of the month at 11 a.m., right here on KBOO Portland.
Rise them up, KBOO 90.7. You don't know it's your girl, Tasha T.
Holla. Welcome to the Coalition of Black Trade Unions segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, and for the working class, here on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. My name is Tina Turner-Morfitt. I am the current president of the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists and the vice president of the Oregon AFSCME Retirees Chapter. I am a retired public employee after working 38 years in the Department of Corrections. My union representation was through Oregon AFSCME.
Hello, I'm Dr. Audrey Terrell. I'm retired from the international staff of the UAW in Detroit Women's Department. And I'm currently the vice president of the Oregon CBTU and president and CEO of the Dr. Audrey Terrell Institute.
Hello, listeners. My name is Deborah Hall, and I'm the current secretary treasurer of the Oregon Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. I'm also a retired member of the American Federation of Teachers, past president of the Classified Union at Portland Community College, and currently I'm serving in the city of Vancouver as a civil service commissioner. Welcome to the show.
Tonight, we're pleased to invite to our show two guests, Brother Jamal Dar, founder and executive director of the African Youth and Community Organization, also known as AYCO, and Brother Askinas Sheriff, the Operations and Program Manager.
Hello, gentlemen, and welcome to our show. How are you this evening?
Pretty good, and thank you for the invite. We appreciate all the work that you're doing, and we're delighted to be here with you guys sharing this space.
Absolutely. And so, Brother Dar, I'm going to kick off with you. And so, for my first question, can you give us a brief overview of the African Youth and Community Organization for our listeners?
Of course. Our history begins working and supporting with the immigrant and refugees youth in 2009. Developing opportunity for mentorship and sports activities. So since its inception, the need for more comprehensive family and community support has moved AYCO toward family mentorship, parents, school, mediation, culturally broken, brokerage, and training with the mainstream institutions. Our students and the community that we serve are mainly immigrant and refugee population. We move to the larger space as we expand the programs into the Southeast area, East Portland, in 2015. The community that we serve have been displaced from civil war, unmanageable hardship, including decades or more living in a refugee camp. The impact of these experiences often compounded by persistent poverty, language differences, and alliances once they arrive in the U.S. While the survivor has been an enormous in a refugee camp, but coming to this country is also seeking the opportunities is also another surviving mode. And we are here to support in any way we can to make sure that they are successful in our society.
Excellent, excellent. And so was there a specific event that ignited your interest in developing your organization?
Yes, absolutely. Great question, Deborah. It started by, you know, when I noticed six, you know, East African boys who had been kicked out from this school, probably a school because of their whatever happened at that time, their behavior or something. And from there, the only connection I had with those kids was just not only we share the same language, but at the same time, the same culture, but at the same time, I was more professional. I was in, you know, kind of finished my college, working for Nike at the time. And I felt like maybe I can be a mentor. I can be their mentor. But in order to do that, what should I do? And the sports come to my mind, where we know sports is a unified language that everyone speaks. So I mentored them, these six boys, through basketball and put them back to the academic support, where they all attended in high school again until they graduated through college. So that was the model that, you know, not only education, but through athleticism was the main focus. And we expanded that from six kids to now to hundreds that we support every day. We support about 559 students every day at their schools, whether it's the elementary school all the way to the college.
Wow, that's fabulous, fabulous. And so can you give us a brief rundown of your experiences and passion in developing this community-based nonprofit program? I just want our listeners to hear them a bit more. This is really, really good, and especially at this time. Thank you.
Absolutely. I think the biggest focus for us was, you know, in order for us to be successful, we need to make sure that we do it for ourselves. And we don't wait anyone else to support us. And I think we have about 30, 32 employees right now. 90% of these employees grew up with the organization. And there were some days they were students themselves. And because of that, our legacy lies to those that we serve now leading our society, whether when it comes to the education, when it comes to the healthcare, when it comes to the community engagement, when it comes to the crime victim advocacies and statewide, and so many other programs that we have, 50 school programs, academic achievements, and so on. And we are the largest when it comes to organization that serves youth. This organization is served by youth and run by youth. So majority, I want to say we average about 20 to 23 age when it comes to staff-wide. So that's what we do. And so many programs that I cannot mention here today are the one we deliver every single day from 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. And the main focus right now is that the Dream Center we purchased, we've been displaced by the city of Portland and Metro. A couple of years ago, in our office in 74 and Glisson, and now we were able to campaign and purchase our own Dream Center located in 82nd. And not only we are surviving, but we're setting up an examples in our society that we can, when we come together, we can achieve bigger. Our building cost about $4 million. We were able to campaign and pay it off within 8 months. And we're expanding not only in this facility, but also in the Washington County, and setting up our mental health centers in our neighbors as well, acquiring another property that we recently purchased. So we're expanding tremendously, and we are making impact in many lives.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Hi, this is Dr. Audrey Terrell. Brother Sharif, what is your role as Operation and Program Director?
Thank you for having me, first of all. As the Operation and Program Director, my responsibility encompasses overseeing all aspects of our organization's program. This includes everything from education department to mental health services, from victim advocacy, community engagement, supporting the newcomers and refugees. It's essential for us to ensure that each department operates smoothly and efficiently. Moreover, deeply involved in the sustainability of these programs, which involves everything from policy development to strategic planning and budgeting.
So what attracted you to become involved in this community-based nonprofit organization?
That's a good question. I was drawn to this organization primarily because of its commitment adding value to the people's life, particularly those in our immigrant and refugees community. Having been an immigrant myself, I understand the challenges and obstacles these individuals face each and every day when trying to adapt to a new environment. Being able to contribute to their well-being and success align perfectly with my personal values and motivation.
So, Brother Sharif, relying on your career in the healthcare administration, how do you go about connecting your targeted clientele to establish resources that exist already in the community?
Excellent question again, Doctor. Connecting our targeted clientele to existing resources in the community is vital for providing comprehensive support. Leveraging my background in healthcare, I utilize a multifaceted approach. This involves establishing partnership with local healthcare providers, social services agencies, educational institutions, and other community organizations. By forging these connections, we can ensure that our clients have access to a wide range of resources, including medical care, social support, educational opportunities, and more.
Wonderful, wonderful. Brother Sharif, please give us a brief rundown on some of the programs you present to your targeted group.
Again, that's a great question. In ICO, we focus on the social determinants of health. It is the integral program and initiatives. We recognize that factors such as education, economic stability, social support, networking, and the physical environment significantly impact individuals and community health outcomes. Therefore, our programs are designed to address these determinants comprehensively. For instance, education, supporting students to attend classes regularly and graduate successfully, economic empowerment, economic empowerment is also another aspect of our way of tackling these issues. It's crucial to determine of health. Through our economic empowerment programs, we provide individuals with the resources and skills they need. Our victims of crime advocacy, survivors of crime often experience significant physical and mental health challenges. Our advocacy services aim to provide survivors with the support and resources they need. Youth empowerment, that's another one that we tackle. Newcomers Department, immigrants and refugees, as you know, they face multiple challenges and unique challenges that can impact their health and well-being. And environmental justice and housing, access to safe and affordable housing as well as environmental factors profoundly influence health outcomes. Our advocacy efforts in these areas aim to create a healthier and more equitable communities for all residents.
Wow, those are some great programs, some great programs.
Thank you, Doctor.
I would like to remind our listeners that they are listening to the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, for the working class, here on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. So, Brother Dar, a year ago, we interviewed Dr. Stacey Hardy Chandler. She's the CEO Association of Social Work Boards. Her primary focus was she elaborated on developing connectivity in communities of color to address mental health disparities and suggested drafting new methods of increasing minority representation in behavioral workforce, in the behavioral health workforce. Do you believe that your program would be an effective element of her prescribed desire to improve connectivity in communities of color?
Absolutely. Thank you, Tina. I can say our programs, especially the behavior and mental health, focus specifically for those people who do not understand those red tips. That is a similar comment in our society. Specifically, when you look at the organization and our culturally specific mental health program, and all the programs that we have is unique to those that we serve. For instance, you cannot have someone that is your client and ask, are you committing suicide? Is that what you're thinking about? You have to speak their language and meet their needs based on understanding their culture. Every society is different, and it's our responsibility as the leaders to meet their needs in anywhere they are. Our focus is important, as you mentioned, with Dr. Stacey, absolute and aligned to those people who are underserved and specifically to the Black communities. And that is what we are designed to. And we were clear when we were getting into the OHS certification co-op that we're not typical a mental health center. And we will be changing so many ways when it comes to speaking the language, when it comes to assessing, when it comes to integrating in this into our society. It's also important to mention that our community do not believe when it comes to mental health. So what does that mean? That is a new way of learning for us. We have a different way to understand this culturally specific model that was success in many years in our Black communities, especially the African immigrant population. So we start in this, instead of these complex issues, we want to take our approach when it comes to specific, culturally appropriate approach and deliver the service that they're qualified to receive.
Okay. So what are some of the most recurring complex challenges that your organization addresses?
Two different issues. One, understanding the system, which is ignorance because they don't understand where we come from and who we are, and educating the educators in society about who we are. without apologizing about our culture, our religion, our identity, and about who we are, and meet them in the middle. That is one challenge, and we continue overcoming those challenges. The second challenge is mental health is taboo to our community, and a lot of us don't believe it. And how do we convey our community about, you know, speaking their language and meeting where they, whatever they believe, understanding about that common sense and meet them in the middle. And I think understanding and educating in our own community about what we do and how things are rolling is also essential. So we have both sides of that. We have to juggle between the two.
So it sounds like the volunteer and the staff that work with your program are very familiar with the population that they serve. Is that about right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, the again, 90.9% of the community that we serve are served by 90.5% of the students that has been served in the past. And there, so sometimes you will see mom and dad walking in, mm-hmm. receive and welcomed by their son or daughter. We hire within the community, and we're brought to do that. And they know who they serve because this is where they come from. This is their parents. This is their culture. And this is their language. And they it feels like welcome. As they walked in, they will see their student. They see in the walls, they see their children as a poster. The children were posted in this wall 10 years ago are now the program directors, the program managers, the finance, you know, coordinators, and partnership leadership. And all of them speaks within the value when it comes to the organization and what we're able to do that. Absolutely.
That's really sweet.
All right, Brother Sharif, this is Deborah Hall. And so our organization, the Oregon Coalition of Black Trade Unionists, recently completed a salute to Black excellence during Black History Month. Our overall theme was health care. I understand that your organization's mental health treatment program was recently licensed. When did this take place?
It took place at the beginning of this month, March of this year, 2024. We also plan to integrate our licensed mental health treatment into our programs in several ways. First, we will allocate dedicate resources and personnel to ensure that mental health services are readily accessible to these people and whom they and who need them the most. This might involve hiring additional staff with specialized training in mental health, counseling, and therapists. Secondly, we will incorporate mental health education and awareness initiatives into our programming. By raising awareness about mental health issues, reducing the stigma surrounding seeking help, we hope to encourage more individuals to utilize our licensed mental health treatment services. Furthermore, we will collaborate with the community partners and stakeholders to expand our reach to ensure that our mental health services are comprehensive and culturally competent. This might involve forming partnership with local healthcare providers, community organizations, and mental health advocacy groups to coordinate care and support for our clients. Overall, the incorporation of our licensed mental health treatment into our programming represents a significant step forward in our mission to uplift and empower our community. By prioritizing mental health and well-being, we aim to provide holistic support to individuals and families, fostering resiliency and promoting their overall health and happiness.
This is fabulous, fabulous. And so also, was it very difficult getting your license? Were there a lot of hoops that you guys had to jump through? Can you talk to our listeners a little bit about that? Because I know that for us in this specific area, we don't have a lot of specific, you know, mental health services set up just specifically for Black people and for Africans. And so can you give us a little background on, you know, what that endeavor was like, seeking to getting your license?
Definitely. The license itself, there's a lot of paperwork involved. So you have to, of course, there's an application. After the application itself is not really hard, but the paperwork that it goes with it, the policies and the procedures that you have to follow through, that is the something that is needs. It takes a significant amount of time, but if you follow the model and you know you have someone to work with, definitely is doable. But it takes a little longer than it could take up to a couple of months.
Okay. So listeners, we have a model for an organization that has already done that, and so it is possible. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here. This has been an awesome interview. Thank you.
Thank you all for having us.
Yes, this is Dr. Audrey. I'd like to know, how can our listeners find out more information about AYCO?
Yes, of course.
Go ahead.
They can find out AYCO. It's also known as AYCO, or African Union Community Organization. Our website, AYCOWorld.org. We have AYCOWorld as a name because we are globally expanding, not only in the Portland and metro area, but our vision is to expand globally. And we're located on the heart of 82nd, right across the PCC, Southeast. Our address is 2110 Southeast 82nd Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97219. Our social media is AYCOWorld.org. And we love to see more volunteers, more professionals, board members, and future employees, anyone that can support our campaign as well. This year, we are preparing 15 students to take them back home. Our program is called BOR, Back to Our Roots. The model is this, that we have identified, is that many of our kids do not understand about their cultural identity and who they are. And you know, they take a lot of things for granted. So we're taking them into Africa, showing them, you know, what is their, you know, hometowns come from, or their parents come from. Some of them were born here. Some of them were come when they were young. Some of them were, parents were young when they come here and they have kids. So we're integrated into that culturally inherited ways that we want to keep that connection in the pipeline. And we have done many, many ways to educate our Black communities. So much leaders already won with us in the past 4 or 5 years. And we're encouraging, especially the Black communities in the Portland metro area, to come with us and see where your original ancestors come from. You'll be proud to see that. So that's the other piece that I want to add to this.
Well, gentlemen, it's an hour. It's time for us to kind of wrap up. Before we do so, I'd like to remind our listeners that your mission statement for AYCO is to settle the past, engage the present, and hope for the future. We wish you a tremendous amount of luck in doing so. And again, thank you so much for sharing with us the wonderful aspects of your program.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you all.
We are so proud. CBTU is so proud of your programs. So we thank you once again, Brother Dar and Brother Sharif, for being our guest on KBOO Labor Radio and sharing with us the daily struggles in communities of color and your organization's effort to provide some level of calmness in the middle of the mental health care storm. I'd like to add that the Coalition of Black Trade Union, we meet the second Tuesday of every month at 6 p.m. We have suspended our face-to-face meetings and are utilizing Google Meet to conduct our monthly meetings. Our next meeting will be held April the 9th, 2024, and you all are welcome.
Thank you. We are more than happy to attend. Just share us the link. We'll be there.
Thank you so much for your time again. We appreciate this valuable time to share this space with you guys.
Excellent. And as I am learning more about our African heritage, I would like to thank Baba Dar and Baba Sharif for being here. Thank you very much. And so, listeners, our email address is orcbu10, and that's the number 10, at gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Please join us in our ever-evolving adventure of representing Black union workers. And with that, for this month, we'll say, holla!
What do we mean when we talk about personality? What is your personality? It is the way you get along with other people around you and with your changing environment. You want certain things from other people. The way to go about getting those things reveals your personality. Your personality is the way you affect other people. Think about that. The way you affect other people.
KBOO Portland.
Baby, you understand me now.